He is risen. It is true. Every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And today is a special day. Everybody has to deal with the resurrection, believers and unbelievers, right? Everybody has to make a decision about these claims of Christ. And I'm going to just share a couple of scriptures, and then Mike is going to come and sing for us. And the song that he's going to sing is really the story coming into the resurrection of Christ. And so everyone has to deal with the resurrection truth. Now, some may say that the resurrection truth is truth for us, but it's not truth for them because they don't believe. I believe the resurrection is truth, whether they understand it as truth or not. But everybody has to reckon with the resurrection. Did it happen? Did it not? Do I believe or do I not believe in the resurrection of Christ? So this is the claim of Scripture. Here it is, and the kids actually mentioned it. By the way, Jay, you're right. What more could we say than what the kids said? That was beautiful. So this first scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5, Paul is preaching to the people at Corinth. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand." And now he's going to define that. "By which also you are saved, if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." So you could know about the gospel, you could know about the truth of God, but not by faith trust in God and become one of his followers, one of his disciples. And then verse 3, Paul says, "For I gave to you, I delivered to you first of all, that which I received." You remember when Paul received it, he was on the road to Damascus, right? And Jesus appeared to him, and he understood at that time the gospel. He's now giving that to the people in Corinth. "I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12, and later on it says, and he was seen by more than 500 at one time." So there are all these eyewitness accounts of people who had seen the risen Christ. It's really good that the Bible is filled with those kind of things. Eyewitness accounts of people who saw Jesus. You know, if Tom told me that he saw something, that would be an eyewitness account. And that is, in the court system, that is absolutely a valid testimony. If I have seen with my eyes something take place, that's a valid testimony. And Paul says he was seen by me and by the 12 and by more than 500 at one time who saw Jesus alive after he had been crucified. Now, we're going to go back to John chapter 20, and I'd like to read this scripture for us. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first." I'm not sure why he said that. A little faster than his friend Peter, you know. "And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in." Now, at this time, could you have proven the resurrection so far from what we've read? Not yet, but it's coming. "Then Simon Peter came following and went into the tomb, saw the linen clothes lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed." That's John. For as yet they did not know or understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. She did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Now she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them that I am ascending to my Father, and to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Mike, would you come?
Gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and arose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down in the street, expecting swords and torches, the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden and John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb the way that Mary said. Winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstances, speculation couldn't lift me very high. Cause I'd seen them crucify him, and I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and the anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied that I knew his name. And even if he were alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light came from everywhere, drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Song. He's alive. All right. Bow with me again. Father, we trust in you to speak to us. God, I marvel at how you use a church time, use scripture and use a message and use a preacher. And Lord, the Corinthians says through the foolishness of preaching that some might be saved. And Lord, I thank you for our brother Jim Rutness this morning who spoke during the sunrise service. And I thank you for each person. Thank you for the children who spoke a message today. And the truth is, Lord, no matter how well we speak it and how well we sing it, God, those that believe are going to rehearse the truth and rejoice in the truth. And those who have not believed in the truth need to make a decision. And God, we pray, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would touch our hearts, that we would either rejoice in what we know or that we would have a changed heart, like the kids said this morning, that we would put our faith and trust in the risen Savior. So, Father, I pray that you would guide us and that we would see the truth from Scripture and the truth from the Word of God. Father, I thank you for each person here. May they be blessed because they're in fellowship with believers. They're not forsaking the assembling of themselves together. Father, thank you for people who are visiting today. We're delighted that they're here. And God, I thank you for the call that you have put upon us as Pioneer Bible Church in Somerset, California. Lord, you didn't place us in the center of New York City or the center of Utah or the center of even in big cities in California. You put us here in Somerset to proclaim your truth. We are here by God's design. And Father, I pray that you would use this place, that we would be and continue to be the brightest lighthouse for the risen Christ that we can be in this place. Father, we thank you for all the different ministries. I think of Awana specifically as 65 kids have been coming and hearing the truth and learning scriptures. Father, I thank you for those that come on Fridays to our food bank, people from our community who have specific needs. And Lord, how you use Sunday schools and home groups and individual Bible studies. And Lord, you just move in so many different ways. Father, thank you that we have the privilege to be part of your body, your church. And thank you, we sang one day when heaven is filled with his glory. And you tell us, Lord, and you've proven to us that we have a home in heaven and we are glad. Please guide us. Holy Spirit, teach us from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So a few scriptures that I'd like to read first. In Matthew chapter 20, and here's what I would like to begin to develop for us, is that we have the resurrection, and what we have is the Christ being proven to us. You remember that phrase of scripture? It says that he would be Emmanuel, and you all know what the phrase means, right? Emmanuel means God with us. And so God came to this planet to be God in the flesh so that we could see what he did and put our faith and trust in him, that we would believe in him. That's why he came. And so in Matthew 20, verse 17, it says, now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed. Now, I just want you to see that before Jesus died, he told of the events that were going to happen to him. Okay? It wasn't, even though the disciples didn't understand it all, Jesus spoke these words. He said, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. You remember, Judas went and paid them how much? 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, and to crucify, and on the third day he will rise again. That was what God had set. This is the plan that God is unfolding that Jesus has spoken to his disciples. Then in Matthew chapter 4, I just want you to see these eyewitness accounts of the things that Jesus had done. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. Jesus, he went amongst the people. It's like he came to Somerset, and he came to Outingdale, and he came to Fairplay, and he came to River Pines, and he was going place to place, and he was finding people in need, and he was touching them and healing them. Now, you know a lot of talented people in your life. Do you know anybody like this? Do you know anybody like Jesus who could come up to a blind man and heal him so that he could see? Now, we have amazing technology. Lots of people have had cataracts removed, and their vision has been made much, much better. But to take a person who is completely blind and heal them, that's the touch of Jesus. It says, healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. Then his fame went all throughout Syria. Isn't it beautiful how Jesus was in Syria? What's happening in Syria today? And how God has had a witness all throughout the different nations. And they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Change directions just for a second. I'd just like to read you some things. So the risen Christ is God in the flesh. He was crucified, he was buried, he rose again, and he ascended to heaven. And that is it's the nutshell of our gospel message of what Christ has done. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a life-changing event for everyone we read about in Scripture. Even though Pilate didn't put his faith and trust in Jesus, so we don't know if he did or not, his life was changed by the word of the resurrection. The soldiers who guarded the tomb, their lives were changed because of the resurrection of Christ. The people who were healed, the people who were at the cross, their lives were changed by the resurrection of Christ. So we read these things in Scripture. Now, of course, the resurrection followed an incredible life of ministry, the ministry of Jesus. For those years, Jesus taught. He called the 12 disciples. He was followed by dozens and then hundreds and then thousands of people. He healed the most challenging by God's power. He healed the lame. Lame people were made whole. See, what needs to happen is we need to look at what happened, hear the eyewitness account, and then make a decision. Is Jesus true? Is the account true? Do I need to put my faith and trust in this risen Christ? Lame people were made whole. The blind were given sight. Leprous people were healed and cleansed. Real people were so radically changed. These people were not experiencing a new religion. When people met Jesus, they weren't experiencing a new religion. These people met and followed Jesus because they saw with their own eyes one who people like who were totally blind and were given sight again. They met Jesus. They met a man who truly did things only God could do. That's the claim of Scripture. That's the testimony of Scripture. People were seeing. Now, you may not have seen these miracles, but there were dozens of people who were eyewitnesses of these things. He did things only God could do. He created. You say, well, when did Jesus create? You remember it says that there was a man with a lame hand and the hand was made whole? That's a creation act. Colossians chapter 1 says he was in the beginning, and it says that all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He created. He healed. Jesus healed broken bones, limbs, leprosy, eyesight, hearing. And if that wasn't enough, he raised the dead. People had died and he raised the dead. The people were seeing these things. The people were hearing about these things. They had to make a decision. You have to make a decision. Did this really happen? Is Jesus who he says he is? And if he indeed is God in the flesh, you are invited to put your faith and trust in him so that you can be forgiven, because that's what he claims. So he created, he healed, he forgave, and he knows. You know, he says to Nathanael, when Nathanael was called as a disciple, and you guys could almost all finish my sentences, but he's talking to Nathanael and he says, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. Now that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us, but apparently before Jesus met Nathanael, he had been under a fig tree, and he was there doing, thinking something, and Jesus just walks up and says, you know, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. And apparently Nathanael knew nobody could see him when he was there. But many times Jesus shows that he knows all things. And then walking on water. If he could walk on water, truly. I mean, we have a lot of bumper stickers now and license plate frames, and they say curious things about walking on water. We almost take it for granted. Jesus walked on water. Could this be God in the flesh? He gave sight. He cast out lifelong demons. You know that man who brought his son to Jesus? And he says, how long has he been like this? And he says, he's been like this since his childhood. Cast out lifelong demons. Make whole lepers. He took a few bread and fish. You think, well, what's the big deal about that? Maybe some other people brought their lunches with them too, and they all kind of shared together. No, what the scripture says is, these 5,000 people came, and these 5,000 people were in the presence of Jesus. Jesus was teaching them. He says to his disciples, the people are hungry. He says to his disciples, you feed them. And they're like, well, feed them with what? And then one of the disciples says, you know, if we had a year's worth wages, we could barely give anybody just a morsel. And then I think, let's see, Andrew says to Jesus, well, there's a little boy here, and he has a little lunch, and it's got, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fish or something like that in it. Jesus says, bring it here. He says he took it, and he blessed it, and he began to spread it out. All the people were fed. Now, if there were 5 loaves and 2 fish, maybe in this crowd you might get a little morsel. 5,000 men plus women and children. Everybody was filled to the full, and how many baskets left over? 12 baskets. See, the claims of Christ are given so that you would believe. Over and over and over again, these scriptures are unfolded so that you would read them. And after all of these miracles, it says that the people listened. And it says when the miracle was done, it says, and they put their faith and trust in him. They believed in him. Have you believed in him? Are you looking at this evidence and saying, God, Jesus, God in the flesh, you are the creator of the world. You are the savior of the world. It's why we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday. We're looking at the claims of God because he wants to save your life. He wants to save your life here, and he wants to take you to heaven when you die, when you stop breathing here, that you'll be in the presence of God. Jesus was maker of all, Lord of all. He was God in flesh. He was Emmanuel. He was Lord over the Sabbath. It says in Luke 14 that he was Lord over the Sabbath. So much to say about that. Jesus convinced the people who had ears to hear and eyes to see. That's why we need to pray. He convinced the people who had ears to hear and eyes to see. I think you have ears to hear and eyes to see. So you're hearing right now. You're seeing the scriptures right now. It says he convinced the people who had ears to hear and eyes to see. And what does that mean? What does that infer? That there are people who don't have ears to hear. And there are people who don't have eyes to see. And it may be you listening to me, letting the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of your heart, and he's saying, would you hear? Would you see the truth that I have for you right here? And sometimes people are hard-hearted. In fact, the world is filled with hard-hearted people. Thousands of people heard. Thousands of people saw. They experienced the life and power of Jesus. But Jesus was not accepted by all. There were the proud. And we run into prideful people. People say, well, I don't need God. Only weak people need God. As me, I'm weak. I need my Creator. I need my Savior to save me. And the proud would say, well, I really don't need anything. I'm kind of doing fine. I'm doing fine. He's not accepted by all. There's the proud, and then there's the religious. We all know very religious people. People who live very well, live right. They kind of have righteous behavior. They like helping other people. They are really big, maybe into service projects, and they're out. There's nothing wrong with that stuff, but that's the religion that they're banking on, that God someday will pat them on the back and say, "Oh, what a good job you did." So only one way Jesus is going to pat any of us on the back, and that's if we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ the Savior, the risen Savior, believing and trusting in him. So Jesus was not accepted by all. The proud, the religious, the unbelieving wanted no part of him. Those who would not believe were threatened by this God in the flesh. They accused him, and they continue to accuse him, and they continue to accuse us. They challenge us. They say, "You're judgmental. You're critical. You're not tolerant." You know, that's a spirit from Satan. That's not true. Now, there are some Christians who need to be walking by faith more so they don't judge and they are not critical. But the genuine spirit of Christ who is in us, those accusations are false. They come out of the pride of the person who's making the accusation because they have not humbled themselves before the Savior of the world. Those who would not believe were threatened by this God in the flesh. They accused him, eventually arrested him, unjustly tried him, scourged him, and crucified him. So as I said, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a life-changing event for everyone that we read about in Scripture and in the ages since then. Believers, I hope that's all of us, believers worship, they adore him, they seek him, they follow him. Unbelievers reject him, ridicule him. Often they're repulsed by Jesus and the people of Jesus. They completely disregard the evidence, the eyewitness accounts of real people whose lives had been or have been changed through forgiveness, healing, and the peace, the inner peace, the daily peace that Christians have. So, going back to the story of the resurrection for just a second, the resurrection followed the brutal Roman crucifixion. After being scourged, inflicted with a crown of thorns, it was yesterday, I was taking down an old barbed wire fence. Nice and rusty, all tangled up. And I was taking down these, and I just thought about the crown of thorns. These were wicked thorns made into a crown that it says they put on his head. So it was in the crown of his head, and then they hit it on his head. Okay? So he was scourged, inflicted with a crown of thorns, nailed. And we've heard that so many times, but can you imagine being nailed, whether it was through your palms or whether it was through your wrists, nailed to a cross through his hands and his feet. Then he hung on that cross until he was unable to breathe. I don't know all the complications of why he died at that moment. I tend to think it was the burden of sin and guilt that he carried for all of us. All that in combination, and he died. To confirm his death, a Roman soldier thrust a spear into his side to be certain that Jesus was dead. He was unnailed. And in the process of doing this barbed wire fence yesterday, I also had to pull these nails out of these railroad tie-like things. You know what it's like trying to wrestle a spike or a nail out of a piece of wood? So you got Jesus' hands nailed. Now they're yanking these nails out of his body. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to confirm in your mind and your soul that Jesus was dead. He died on the cross. Some people think he just fainted on the cross. Well, if he fainted, then he could come back to life. It was clear that he was dead. Someone said of the Roman soldiers, if nothing else, they could be sure that when crucifixion took place, that the victim was dead before they took them down off the cross. So he thrust a spear in his side to be certain that Jesus was dead. He was unnailed. He was carried. His limp, bloodied body was wrapped in cloth, buried in a cold tomb where for a portion of 3 days his body lay on a cold slab of rock. He was dead. His followers, convinced of his messiahship, that he was God in the flesh, they were devastated. Jesus was dead. The unbelieving were relieved that Jesus was dead. The people who followed Jesus were convinced and changed. They believed. The question we have to wrestle with is, do I believe? Martha, in a beautiful description, said, and I'm just going to turn to John chapter 11. This is the portion of scripture where Jesus comes to Lazarus' home. And there's this dialogue. You remember, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were friends with Jesus, right? And so Lazarus died. Martha and Mary were very upset, just like you are when one of your family members dies. And they were very upset, and Martha's kind of waiting for Jesus to get there. Jesus puts off going to Bethany, where Lazarus was, and this is the dialogue. It says, so when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined with the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So, here's what I would like to tell you about this little scene with Mary and Martha. What did Martha know about the resurrection of Christ? What did Martha know about the resurrection of future believers in Christ? This is how the dialogue goes. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Bless you, Brother Mike. Wow, a bottle of water. That's fun. Thanks. Let's leave it right here. Thanks very much. Martha said to him, I know. That really helped, Mike. Thanks. Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And what does Martha say? She sure does. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And that is the question you and I must answer. If Jesus says to us, do you believe this? And like Martha, we say, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God who is to come into the world. Praise God for that. So after all this, we come to the Sunday following the crucifixion, as recorded all throughout the Gospels, John 20 and Matthew 28. The resurrection of Jesus, the complete miracle of Jesus truly being alive, changes lives. Changed lives and changes lives. Real people were so affected and convinced that they did radical things. Think of what happened with the people who chose to follow God in the flesh, follow Jesus the Christ, follow the Son of God. Not only did people in the first century do amazing things, but people since then who put their faith and trust in Jesus, God has used them to do great things. You know, I am constantly amazed now that we have YouTube. Anybody here ever watch YouTube? It's on the internet. You can look up lots of things, and you have to be discerning about what you look up, okay? But on YouTube, there are amazing people, preachers, teachers, teaching the Word of God. And man, we're not the only ones who believe in Jesus. There are hundreds of people teaching the Word of God out there. People are doing radical things. In Acts 7, we have Stephen, who teaches about Christ from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and he is willing to be martyred, stoned for Jesus Christ because of the truth of the resurrected Christ. In Acts chapter 9, we have this budding apostle Paul who is radically changed. And immediately, it says in Acts chapter 8, 9, it says immediately he began to preach Christ resurrected. What was Paul's end? He was crucified also, killed, martyred for his faith. In Acts chapter 8, we have Philip meeting a man from Ethiopia. Philip is a Christian man, we see in Acts chapter 6. And it says that Philip got into the chariot with the Ethiopian, and it says he started in Isaiah, and like Mark Lowry would say, he went all the way to the maps at the end of the book. And he told this Ethiopian eunuch about Jesus Christ and him risen from the dead. The book of Acts is filled with convinced believers, Paul, Peter, Philip, others who enthusiastically preached the risen Christ and were killed for it. So here's the question. Why would people die for a lie? If Jesus wasn't the risen Christ, why did these people give their whole lives to serve him? They gave their whole lives to the point of accusation, arrest, and crucifixion or execution. They were convinced. They had seen the truth. They believed. The question is, do we? Do we? Paul was compelled to go abroad, preaching the saving message of the risen Christ. It says in the book of Acts, he went to Antioch and Athens and Achaia and Ephesus and Rome and other places. People go to Rome today. Look on the internet, you can see these incredible pictures of Rome, these beautiful, beautiful structures. Man, those were from the days of Paul. He was out there preaching the resurrected Christ. People who hear and see the evidence of the risen Christ were changed. Are you? God, use us to your honor and glory. In the book of Luke, it's another one of my favorites. In Luke chapter 24, there are two guys who have seen this whole crucifixion process. They have begun to hear about the resurrection, and they are on their way traveling to a place called Emmaus. And they're walking along. You guys remember the story, right? So they're walking along. There's two disciples. The rest of the disciples are back in the city. And they're walking along, and they're grieving because Jesus has been crucified. The Bible says Jesus shows up. He just shows up. And it doesn't say they questioned. Where did he come from? Maybe he came out from behind a tree or off a different side road. He's walking along with them. He's listening to them tell the story about what's happened in Jerusalem and how brokenhearted they are. And he kind of, he acts inquisitive, and he goes, what are you guys talking about? And they begin to tell him all the story about Jesus. And it says he walked along with them to the point that he finally says to them something like, oh, brothers, so slow of heart to believe. And it says he began with the books of Moses and the Psalms and the prophets, declaring to them scriptures concerning himself. Wow. And so they're walking along. They invite him. They still don't quite recognize who he is. They're like, wow, who is this guy? And they invite him into their house to have dinner. He says, and they sit down with him. And it says that maybe they asked him, would you pray for dinner or something? I don't know. And it says that Jesus broke bread. He prayed and broke bread. And as soon as he broke bread, it says their what? Their eyes were opened. And as soon as their eyes were opened, what happened? Jesus disappeared. It says, man, their hearts were burning inside of them, and they just hightailed it back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples, we have seen the Lord. Those brothers' eyes were opened. That's what we want. We want our eyes to be open. We want your eyes to be open. We want people's eyes to be open that they can see the truth, see the evidence, deal with it in their own soul and say, it really is true. Christ Jesus is the Savior of the world, God in the flesh. That's the changing, life-changing message. Mike, would you come? This whole idea of their eyes were open. They began to see and hear. And what did that do in their soul? I mean, we can only speculate how they were convinced. What we have heard is true. And Jesus is alive.
This is a song that's based upon what Jim was talking about, The Road to Emmaus. I don't have any music behind it, so it's just going to be me. All at once he walked beside me like he'd been there all along. Not a stranger, but a father who can sense when something's wrong. And he answered all my questions, and he understood my fears that somehow vanished now that he was near. Can't you see who walks with you? Can't you hear who speaks your name? Can't you feel something stirring in your heart? How his words ring strong and true, like a once familiar strain. Could the paths we follow from now on be the same? Well, I could not bear for him to leave me, so I begged him please to stay, spend the evening a few moments before he went his way. Then like a host he stood and blessed me, broke the bread and poured the wine. Then I knew there was something there that I recognized. Yes, I can see who walked with me. I can hear who speaks my name. I feel something stirring in my heart. How his words ring strong and true, like a once familiar strain. And I know I'll never be the same. I can see. And from that moment in time, I feel the emptiness outside and all the glory of his power shining through. And for the first yes, I can see who walks with me. I can hear who speaks my name. I can feel something stirring in my heart. How his words ring strong and true, like a once familiar strain. And I know I'll never be the same. I can see. I can see, I can see.
I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and we're going to sing a chorus as we close. I want to just tell you that I feel like our church is in a process. I feel like we're all growing to be more tender, growing to be more surrendered to the Holy Spirit in our lives. We want our lives, we want our church to be as effective as it can be. You know what's common about people who are sick, people who are weak? It's humbling. It's sometimes painful to admit that we need help. I go visit people in the hospital. Sometimes they're so sick they have to have people help them use the toilet, or they need antibiotics intravenously, and so somebody has to hook up an IV to them. And you know, there is such a real pride in all of us that keeps us from coming to that humble place where we say, I need you, Lord. So, again, I think we're all in a process of becoming more, listening more, and being susceptible to the Holy Spirit touching our hearts. We need Christ, you guys. We need Christ for salvation. We need Christ Jesus. Christ is the name. So, you know, I mean, Jesus is the name. Christ is who he was, the Messiah. We need Jesus to heal our broken hearts. We need Jesus to help us through the struggles that we have. One of the things that I was recently talking to one of the brothers that we'd like to do more effectively in our church is have this time of invitation where people could come up here and me or one of you that's burdened to pray with others, people could come up and just say, pray with me. And it's really easy just to go home and not even worry about it, just kind of say, well, okay, I'll be a little more in tune with the Lord this week, but maybe sometimes there needs to be a brokenness where we come and we say, Lord, I need you. And I need somebody to come with me. I need a David to come alongside me and be my strength right now because I'm not so strong. We need another brother, another person with us. So I just invite you to consider what the Holy Spirit is saying to your heart. And we'd like to pray with you. And so I'll just ask you that are burdened to pray with others, if you'll stay here. After we sing this song and people are going home, don't forget your dishes in the kitchen, okay? After the potluck. And then maybe you guys can just play for a few minutes while we're up here. So we're going to stand and we're going to rejoice in the truth of God, our salvation, resurrected Savior. And Kate, would you begin to lead us?
Mm-hmm. We're going to end with a very familiar chorus this morning to remind us that it's because he lives. Right into the chorus. play Resurrection. I'm going to play Resurrection Power a little bit.